Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right. Oh.
Welcome, welcome. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and I'm really happy to be back with you tonight. We had a hiatus for 2 weeks, and we are back on track, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to bring you more stories and more histories of people who have been through dark places, hard times in their lives, and they've overcome. And because I know that God is no respecter of persons, what he's done for them, he can do for you. And it doesn't matter who's listening tonight, whether you are have been walking with the Lord for years, whether you're a new believer, maybe you're listening and you haven't yet said yes to Jesus Christ. The story is going to bring you to a place where you realize your need, and that is my prayer and my desire. Tonight, we have Ren E. Praise with us tonight, and he was born and raised, born in England and raised in Guyana, and has been living in the United States for quite some time. And his story is going to take you through a path from homelessness to hope, actually, and we'll see how that transpired. He is singer, rapper, producer, songwriter, and I'm looking for great things from you, and I'm really excited that you're with us tonight and you're able to join us on the show. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's an absolute pleasure being here.
Great. You shared the stage with some, you know, really wonderful, powerful people. You know, having that Caribbean background, Papa Son is one of the major artists that people know of that, you know, came out of that reggae world. And when he said yes to Jesus Christ, never turned back, and has been doing great music with Papa Son and Kurt Franklin and Dunamis and others. And you really have been gaining experience and momentum, but you didn't always start at that place. You didn't start there, and none of us start at that level. So I want to go back a little bit, and I want to have you tell me a little bit about your childhood and, you know, how you grew up, where you grew up. What was that like?
My childhood was pretty an exciting one. Growing up in South America, Guyana, a lot of people would refer to it as the West, as the Caribbean, but it's not the Caribbean. It's South America, but it's West Indian. So you know, my childhood entailed a lot of physical activities. It's summer all year long. You know, so that was pretty awesome. You know, having to not always having to bundle up and stuff like that. So, you know, it was, my childhood was pretty exciting, but I did have some downtimes, you know, and like every teenager, I suppose, like every person did have that downtime in their childhood. But, you know, mine was pretty an exciting one.
Well, that sounds pretty good, and I'm familiar myself a little bit with the island life. You know, my mom's from Tortola, British Virgin Islands. Even though I was born here, I spent a lot of time going back and forth when I was little. So one of the things that I know is the beautiful weather. So I envy you that since I've been trapped in these New York winters for quite some time. But, did you grow up in church? Did you grow up singing?
Yes, I started singing around the age of 5 in church, and I found my true identity in terms of my genre and my versatility around the age of 20, around the age of 19, 20, around there.
Okay. Well, what type of music did you sing?
Well, you know, coming from South America, West Indies, having a West Indies background, the genre that was predominant, that was normal, was reggae.
So that was your love. That was the thing that you were enticed by.
That's right. That's right. It started with I actually started singing. Started singing reggae in my backyard. The Caribbean life is that kids would usually take transportation to get home by themselves after school at an early age, and there was one time that I got home pretty early before anyone else got home, and I was locked outside of my house, and at that time, our house was under construction, so there was a lot of wood all over the place and stuff like that. And I picked up two sticks and I started to beat them together, and I started to make rhymes to kill time until my parents got home. So that's where I started doing reggae in my backyard.
You know, it's so interesting to me how those natural things just find a way to ooze out of us, those gifts and talents that God has given us. And, you know, I don't believe you ever had a drum class before that moment in time, and here you are just allowing this to just flow out of you without any instruction, any teacher, you know, just letting it happen. So you sound like you were a very happy-go-lucky kid, you know, going to church sometimes, enjoying your music. When did the shift and the change occur for you? When did life start to get more serious?
Life became more serious when I got over here, when I had moved to the United States from Guyana. And experiencing a different culture, being here by myself, I had developed a level of independence. So that's where life started to change for me.
It's a very different world, and you are allowed to be not only independent in New York, but independent in a way that's creative, and people are less aware of what you may be up to, you know. It's that type of thing. In the islands, even though you might be coming home by yourself on transportation, there's always that neighbor. There's always that someone who
that's
sees
the island
you,
life.
You know? Yeah. And so you weren't going to get away with anything. But in New York, it's easier to kind of isolate and be alone. And so even as you're now starting to face the challenges of being a teen here, that church value system that you had, were there some changes that started to begin there?
Yes, most definitely. My church life began to demolish somewhat because it was a new environment, and the environment was not that conducive for spiritual growth. In terms of, you know, going to church back home in the islands or in the West Indies, you know, for kids to go to church, it's necessary. It's normal. That's the culture. But, you know, moving into a different environment, into new culture, you know, independence start before someone becomes an adult.
That's a very good point. And so here you are kind of, you know, being thrown into a very new situation. What are some of the things that you started to depend on to help you deal or cope with the New York City lifestyle? Because it is very stressful here.
You know, that brought me back to a statement that that I would usually use, because a lot of my friends back home and family would ask me, you know, they would say, you know, how it is in America, like, what is life like? And I say, man, everybody has a story. I'm now writing mine. So more or less, I recognize it's a place where, whereby you must be in control of who you are in God.
But, you know, at 19, it's hard to regulate that, especially if you don't have that mentorship or that direction that's directly there. So what are some of the things that you found yourself taking comfort in as you were, you know, going through these challenges?
Well, I can tell you what, before I got to the challenges, more or less what led to the challenges was my was the breaking point in my life, whereby breaking point in a sense of negative, or more or less what I thought at the time or what I saw at the time as negative, but it was really God bringing me into who He wanted me to be. I came here and my goal was to go into the army, join the United States Army, and it was probably a week before I was deployed to training, to boot camp. The Lord spoke to me and, you know, to pursue my purpose, what He has created me for. And after telling my parents that, you know, Mom, Dad, you know, I believe that I'm going to go out and accomplish my dream, accomplish my goal, do what God has gifted me to do. And I lost the support of my immediate and extended family. So as a result of that, I was no longer a dependent, but I became an immediate independent person. So I had there was no one there to support me morally, financially. Here it is that I'm just a kid that was totally abandoned by everyone in a world that I never had any prior knowledge about.
Let's back up just a little bit because I want to make sure I'm hearing you and I'm getting clarity here. So, you know, you shared that, you know, you were a churchgoer when you were growing up, when you were a little kid, and here you are. I would assume if you were going to church when you were little that your family were also, you know, churchgoers or believers. Was that the case?
No, that was not the case. My parents, they were churchgoers, but not firm believers at the time.
Mm.
At the time, because that's in the past. But, you know, it's in the islands, West Indian, it's culture for parents to send their kids to church, but not be, but not frequently go to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I can relate to that too. Yeah,
I came up in one of those families where it was my grandmother doing the parenting, spiritual parenting, in terms of you know, always encouraging me to go to church, or would always take me to church with her. But you know, that type of influence did not come from my immediate family, and I sure like it.
No, I definitely relate to that. You know, my grandmother, when I used to go down, she would, there would be the radio at night, and she'd listen to Don Bach or Oral Roberts or one of those guys. And I remember she would put one hand on the radio and one hand on my forehead and pray over me. And, you know, when I went to church with my grandmother. And then here in New York, my mom took me initially, but once I got old enough, she sent me, and she always made sure I went. You know, but she wasn't going herself. So I definitely get that. So what you're saying is here you are, you were, you know, the family was on board with you going into the military, and that was the plan. But you felt now, even though you were kind of estranged from God, from what I'm hearing, that you started to hear Him say, nope, the military is not the way for you. And when you brought that to your family, their expectations and what you were offering, there was a conflict there.
Yep,
and that
yep.
conflict led to you being asked to leave home.
That's, say, repeat again for you.
I said that conflict led to you being, you know, asked to leave home.
Yes.
Wow.
Definitely. That's exactly what had transpired. Because what I believe now that I look back at what had occurred is that even though I was in a state of rebellion, you know, having, you know, being put in a new environment where I'm doing my own thing, you know, there's nobody to look at me, there's nobody to report to, you know, I believe that they were looking at me going into the military as the best option. But here's what God was probably saying, that, listen, you have done enough of you. Now it's time for me to take over and to bring you into divine alignment of what I've created you to be.
Well, when we come back from listening to one of your tracks called Without You, we'll discuss a little bit more about what that process looked like and how you got to where you are today, all right?
All right.
I can never make it without you, and I will do what you want me to do. Woo! I see the signs, directional arrows, and I hear your voice about tomorrow. I don't know what my destination is, but that's where my promises and your promises are sure that I know.
Homelessness to hopefulness, and was just at that point in the story where his family has said, you know, you're not going to do things our way, well, you've got to hit the highway, basically. And I just wanted you to kind of talk to us about the song Without You that we just listened to and you know, the Bible character that you based it off of, because it's so true. You know, you were at this moment where you had no idea where you were going to go and what your destiny would be. And so this song came about. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was pretty, it was a rough period. It happened very drastically, and it was a situation that had me scarred because I had no other choice. There was no one for me to resort to. There was no one for me to confide in. You know, here it is that I'm somebody that is totally new to this environment. I'm totally new to the country, and I've just lost the immediate. I've just lost immediate and extended support from both of my family. And here it is that my mom is the one that said to me, you know, because she was coming from a place of frustration, because she's all the way in South America, Guyana. I'm over here in the United States, and she's frustrated. She has had it, and she's like, you know what, son, you know, you should, you know, you need to leave your auntie's house, and you need to find a place of your own. I don't know where you're going to go, but this was not the plan that we had. But I was saying to my mom and my dad, you know, this is the plan, that this is what I believe that God is saying to me. And the church that I was attending, go ahead.
Well, actually, even before that, I just wanted to kind of, without you, when you wrote that song, what were you thinking? What were you basing that off of?
I was reading the story of Abraham, how Abraham did not know where God was taking him to, but he knew that where his destination is, that's where his promise was. And I wrote that song from, I had identified with this story, because here it is that I came to the country with one plan, and God is saying, no, I'm going to take you out of this environment, and you're going to do what I have created you to do. So at the time, it was very timely that I was reading the story at the same time. You know,
no coincidence.
You know what I'm saying? I believe it was God's divine order for me to had read that scripture at the same time, to read that story, because I could have identified with what Abraham was going through, because I had no other choice but to trust God. And you know, I from there the lyrics began to flow, because I was like, I don't know where you're taking me to, but my faith is invested in you. And if you say go, yes, I'll go, because I cannot make without you. In other words, I was saying, God, I completely surrender to you. I have no other choice. There's no one else that I can call. I have the only person that I can depend upon is you. So I'll follow you. Just send me and I'll go.
So basically, you were at a place where you really made a recommitment to the Lord. From that five-year-old little boy, here you are at 19, and you really decided, you know, now I'm going to do things your way,
That's right.
I mean, I don't understand it. And so I'm curious, you're here, your bags are packed, and you're walking out the door. Where did you end up going?
I had developed a friendship with the then music director of the church that I was attending. And you know, I began to share my story with him, because I was basically at a desperate place. And you know, here it is that I'm asked to leave, and I have no idea where I'm going to live. Going back was not an option for me. Going back home to Ghana was not an option. I made up in my mind that I'm going to move forward and trust God. So you know, I shared with him my story, and I'm like, you know, I was very honest with him. I said, I don't have a choice. I have to leave, or else that's it for me. And he had shown compassion towards me, and he had put me up with his moms. They had available space for me at the time, and I began to live with them for a short period of time.
You know, that's great. I'm glad that God, like, puts people in our paths that can help us out, even if we don't know them that well.
That's right.
That's part of the beauty, by the way, of being in the body of Christ, is that we have brothers and sisters all over the world. It's not just our immediate family anymore. So it becomes something that is greater and more powerful. And I don't even have to have met you. Even in our discourse and setting up for the show, one of the things that I really appreciate about you was whenever you emailed me, you'd say, hey, sis. You know, and I was like, hey, yeah, that's right, you know. And you share that commonality. So for those of you who are listening who are on your own, you know, I was an only child, but I was also a lonely child. And I want you to understand that once you enter the family of God, because every person who's born is God's creation, and he loves you. But until you enter his family, you don't have that brother-sister relationship with everyone who's a part of that family. And so it's something that is extremely special. So here you are, family, and you are adapting and learning. And I believe one of the things you shared with me is that they had a piano there in the house. And you set it down. Tell us about that.
it was quite amazing because, as a matter of fact, that's the first time I started to play and recognized that I had a gift, you know, in terms of playing the piano a little bit, and it helped me out so much now that I'm a co-producer. It was one day I was at home reflecting on everything that I was going through. And, you know, I just stepped over to the piano. You know, being an artist, being a musician, you know, you gravitate towards, it comes natural, you know, for you to gravitate towards anything that has to do with music. So, I was home and I just sat at the piano and I was basically playing around. And before I knew it, I had a chord structure that I was, that I moved from messing around to having a chord structure that I was playing. And the lyrics began to come to me because I was thinking about my situation and everything that I was going through. And I had no CD to put on. I then had a special song that I can put in. And I remember I was reflecting. I remember that one of my family members had said to me that you will become nothing. You know, you're finished. Once you leave or you're finished, you'll become nothing. And I remember the word of God says that he who has begun this work in you is faithful and just to see you complete it until the end. Yeah. And even though I was in a place of brokenness, I was writing from a place of victory.
Mm.
And the song, you know, the lyrics came to me, just look at me. They said I'll never make it. My efforts would be wasted. But my heart never stopped beating melodies. I will be named among the greatest. He who has begun this work is able to complete it. Every hurdle takes you to another level. But close to your victory, there comes trouble. Be careful. Don't succumb to the devil. Just keep your head up and never give up. You know, and the chorus and the chorus and everything, you know, began to in sync. You know, I wasn't the greatest piano player, but you know, I believe that those, you know, writing from my heart helped me to develop that ability to play.
Well, you know, that track is called Believe, and that's what exactly what I like about it, and what helped me to decide to have you on as a guest, because not everyone starts with a super polished production. Not everyone has, you know, all of the instrumentation and all the musicality, but your lyrics were so heartfelt. And once I heard your story, I realized that these lyrics were coming from a place. So let's listen to Believe, and when we come back, we'll again see what the Lord is doing with you.
All right.
Have you ever been to that place where you feel success cannot be attained? You can make it if you chase that dream. If you have God on your team, what a mind conceives it can achieve. Sit back, let me tell you what.
Look at me. She said I'd never make it, my efforts would be wasted. But my heart never stopped beating. Melodies will be named among the greatest. He began this way, it's able to complete it well. Every hurdle takes you to another level. Close to your victory, here comes trouble. Be careful, don't succumb to the devil. Just keep your head up and never give up. Up, 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 up. You gotta believe, chase after your dream. We got on your team, you will succeed. You gotta believe, chase after your dream. We got on your team, you will succeed. You gotta believe. Among the greatest, he began this work. It's a better complete it for. Yeah, every hurdle takes you to another level. Close to your victory, here comes trouble. Be careful, don't succumb to the devil. Just keep your head up and never give up.
Homelessness, when he had been picked up out of his situation. He wrote that song at the beginning when he had just lost his place of living. He's in with a family he doesn't know, and he sits down at the piano and joy comes out. How does that begin to happen except for God almost prophetically speaking to you and letting you know that he's going to do something in your life? That is a really a big wow song. Like, I get excited listening to it.
I love it. Glory be to God.
Now, that's great, but the reality is things weren't looking so great at the time, right? Because you moved in with this family, and they're wonderful, but things just, you know, as usual in these types of things, when you're not getting on your feet quick enough or whatever have you, you weren't able to stay there.
No. I was coming from a different cultural background.
more or less, I came with a lot of baggage, things that I wasn't over as yet. So, you know, having to being rushed from not having a place, you know, and just being rushed into a family that had already have a specific order and stuff like that. A lot of things I was not accustomed to, and instead of being mature, and go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was saying basically you kind of fell in the same situation where you had to go.
Exactly. Yes.
And so, where did you go this time?
Well, this time, I found refuge in the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? It means you went to the church and there was a family there that was able to help you? What do you mean you found refuge in the church?
It means that the church became my home.
Uh-huh.
The church became my, not just my spiritual dwelling place, but the place where I laid my head to rest when everyone went home to their families. Oh.
Sleeping in the church.
Yeah, that's
right. And now I know some churches have rooms that have beds and showers and things of that nature. Was that the case for you?
Eventually that became the case. But what was the case, to be honest with you, is that I did not have a shower. I had something similar to a shower. I didn't have a changing room. But I had a back room. I had a storage area, you know. But
And you were basically sleeping on the pews then.
That's right. I was basically sleeping. Well, we didn't have pews. We had chairs at the time.
So
I would basically group the chairs together in the form of a bed.
Yeah.
Hard time.
Yeah.
I basically set the chairs to my length and to my width, and that was my resting place, you know? That was my resting place.
So did you struggle with any type of depression or fear that maybe those words that were spoken over you were true? I mean, what's going through your mind as you find yourself sleeping in the church on chairs?
I began to fear that everything that was said would become a reality. You know, I basically thought that at that time that I was just basically going with the flow. I was just going with the tide, you know, just basically going with the tide. And at that time, when I thought everything was over, that's when doors began to open up for me.
Was there a shift that occurred in you to make that happen?
Yes, it was necessary. It was appropriate. It was timely. It's what I had needed all my life, and that made me look at the situation from a different perspective, rather than seeing it as It was to destroy me. It was basically geared to bring me into my purpose.
So what you're saying is you actually had a shift in how you were looking at the situation that happened to you.
Yeah.
And what started first? Where did the transformation begin in your relationship with the Lord, in getting a job? Like, how did things start to fall in place for you?
Okay. So after deciding to go all the way with the Lord first and foremost, saying, you know what, God, I'm in a place where I'm still trusting you. I still feel abandoned by even you, God. Because now I'm sleeping in the church, you know. I don't have a place of my own, you know, it was a feeling like, you know, how, am I being forsaken here by God? But one of the first things that happened is that through prayer by the members of my church, you know, through prayer and counseling, you know, and just experiencing the genuine love of God, you know, and just experiencing the genuine love of God through those people that I was surrounded by was able to bring me in to divine alignment, rather than feeling abandonment, you know, rather than feeling rejected for the things that had happened in my past, you know, I was more or less welcomed into a family that I believe I never had before.
You know, I just realized when I was talking about that earlier and the blessing it is to be a part of such a family, I did not make it clear how anyone listening could be a part of the family. It's really very simple. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord,
that's right,
you shall be saved, right? And so it really is as simple as starting right there, you know, confessing and believing and confessing. And if you do that simple prayer, and you just begin reading his word, the Spirit of God will start to direct you, start to teach you. And what I'm hearing you say is that really this 19-year-old kid who came to New York and felt all this immediate freedom and started to kind of sow his oats a little bit and then was faced with the harshness of what reality of independence can be. Here you are in the cold nights of a church, you know, because they shut their heat off when everybody goes home, the heat goes off. So I know you didn't, you know, you were cold. And you're laying there and you're praying and you're talking to God and you're thinking, and he starts revealing himself to you. And then when you say divine alignment, you're talking about the process where things to come together and things start to line up and begin to formulate. And a part of this process for you was meeting someone special who happened to be singing in the praise team. Talk about that.
Okay. I love the introduction. Well, my mind just went back for a little bit. At the time when, you know, things began to work out, you know, I'm now shifted into divine alignment, a place where God can now use me for his honor and for his glory. I had joined the praise team, and joining the praise team, I met a very compassionate, beautiful young lady, and you know, we grew as friends. As a matter of fact, I can remember asking her to be her friend. You know, like, what is the criteria to be your friend? Because she seemed to be a person with a standard and carry herself by daily principles. So, you know, looking at the guy, you know, looking at my situation, I was like, man, is it even possible to be her friend? Like, do I even fit into her category of friends? And, you know, I asked her, you know, what is the criteria to be a friend? And she said, you know, one of the things she said is just being honest. You know, just being honest and trust and a few other things she mentioned. And from friends, you know, we became prayer partners. And in the process of all of that, she learned of my situation. And, you know, so we began to specifically pray about those things. I can remember 6 a.m. every single morning just to pray over the phone.
You said 6 a.m.?
Yeah, 6 a.m. Every morning we would pray over the phone. That was our daily routine. And there was one time I asked her a question. I asked her, you know, what do you think are some of the qualities I should be looking for in a female companion? And, you know, based on the description that she gave to me, which I had already seen in her, I can remember leaving that day while walking down the block saying to God, you know, God, can you bless me with somebody of that nature? Like, I've I was running through a list in my head. I'm like, I've never came across anybody with this standard, with this love and this passion for you, you know, with this genuine heart. You know, her lifestyle was authentic. You know, what you see is what you. There was nothing to hide. You know, she was so loud for God. She and she's a worshiper as well. And you know, I began to develop interest in her.
And, yeah.
You know, long story short, today we're married.
Always takes a woman's touch in there. So, so she knew about your situation. You start praying together. What are some of the things that started to happen for you?
Some of the things that started to happen for me is that from sleeping within the church, my now bishop had learned of my situation, and the church had available rooms upstairs in the upper flat of the building, and I started to live there, so my living arrangement had changed. My view of life had changed. For the first time in my life, I experienced the anointing of God. My ministry became more authentic. It became more more dynamic, and I had developed a deep passion for the things of God and to have a deep relationship with God.
Now, were you also able to get employment?
Yes. At the time, I had already have employment. I was working at having a hustler's mentality back then for me was, you know, I need to have, you know, like certain terminologies we use, like slang. I would say, you know, I need to have bread in my pocket, like I need money.
Right.
And
especially if you're getting married.
Yep. So even before I met my wife, I was already working. I started working at a cleaning company. One day I just stepped out of the house that I was staying at the family that I was staying at, and you know, because I had to pay bills where I was staying. I wasn't living there for free. So even though it was a place of refuge, I still had to pay rent at the end of the day. So you know, one day I just went out job seeking, and I just stopped. I just saw the cleaning company was on the road, and I asked the guys. I was like, you know, are you guys hiring? You know, I really need a job. And I went into the job interview all dressed up with a shirt and a tie, and the boss looked at me and said, you know, you cannot come to work in this attire. You already have the job.
All right. So things were coming together. You've got the job. You've got a place to stay. You've got this wonderful woman. She sounds fantastic. And now
yes.
The Lord has started giving you that song, started giving you music. How did you realize that it was time to step into the ministry?
I recognized it was time to step into the ministry when God's power began to manifest more and more through my ministry. I began to have visions, and there was a lot of prophetic word that came forth from various prophets that had confirmed a lot of things in my life, that had confirmed a lot of the passions that I have. And based on those prophetic words and based on my passions, you know, I recognize that, you know, it's time for me to get into the ministry and do what God's called me to do.
Well, you know, you have a song. It's called Spontaneous Praise.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, because I'm thinking instead of me trying to say something, because that says it all, you know, and all this happened over the course of a year or so? Or was it even longer?
No, all of this happened over the course of 1 year.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing. I mean, you were going through a tumultuous up and down roller coaster But God yep. came in, and it just shows when you just connect with him and you stay faithful to him despite what you see in front of you, despite what people say to you, that you trust his word above everything else and you stay true. And what's amazing and wonderful is that he started giving you the lyrics and the words even before you came out on the other side. But let's listen to Spontaneous Praise, because that's what happens when you go through what you went through and come out on the, you know, it's not something that you can pretend about.
No, that's right.
Everybody, you're listening to it right here on Don't Give Up Radio. If you like what you hear, guess what? You can actually download it for free. We're going to tell you about that in about 2 minutes, so stay tight for that. I want to just say those words spoken over you were wrong. And if you don't already realize that, I can just hear the joy in the music that you're producing. And, you know, producing music is not about winning Grammys and necessarily being internationally known, right? No. You produce music as ministry to be able to touch hearts and lives of people, everyday people that may not have the opportunity. And the fact that you're offering this music for free, it just shows your heart in ministry. I mean, there's many different reasons why it's good to do. But I know you're also doing this because of the fact that you want to get it into the hands of a loyal fan base, and I'm sure you're going to be getting an increased fan base as well. So why don't you tell the people how they can find you and how they can find your music?
Okay. I would love for you guys to follow me. You can find me on Instagram as ePraise. You can find me on Facebook as ePraise or Ren ePraise, either one. You can also find me on, I'm also on YouTube as ePraise as well. And you can download all of the songs that you heard tonight on SoundCloud. Just type in ePraise. Everything should come up. My entire EP is there, absolutely free. I just want to bless your hearts.
That's amazing. It's wonderful. And for those of you who didn't get that, I'm putting it on my Facebook page so that you can just click and go. So if you haven't liked Don't Give Up Radio, you have to put that radio on there, Don't Give Up Radio on Facebook, then you're not going to have the opportunity to do this. So go to Don't Give Up Radio on Facebook, and that's my page. You go ahead and like, and you'll be able to get the information there. I'll put the SoundCloud link, his Facebook link, and his Instagram and Twitter link. And it's E-Praise, okay? E-Praise. It has just been great having you with us. I know you're just at the beginning of your career, but there's so much that I see you doing. And just take a minute and talk to us a little bit about Living on Purpose Radio and TV.
Okay. Living on Purpose Radio TV, I was given the opportunity by someone who would recognize the gift in me for radio, or just more or less someone just thought that I was zealous for things of God, and they gave me an opportunity to have a radio program. And Living on Purpose Radio TV is a network that is geared towards exposing gifts, unique gifts and talents that are being used for the honor and glory of God. So it's basically a network that showcases people that are living on purpose, doing what God has created them to do. That's my slogan. That's what I live by. That's who I am.
So where does that air? How can people find it?
Presently, we're not on air.
Okay, so you're working on material and putting it together. So it's something we can keep our eye out for?
Definitely, definitely. Oh, more than just the program, but you can also look out for the in the future we'll be having conferences and stuff like that, because I recognize, based on my testimony, based on my story, there are a lot of people that don't know what and who God has created them to be, and they have resorted to doing in 9-to-5 to make money rather than living on purpose and being what God has created you to be.
Yep, I'm there right now. I'm realizing, it's never too late, no matter what age you are. When you're clear on what God wants you to do, you just to step out on that. You can't worry about, the finances and the bills and what if. You really have to make sure that you empty yourself and allow what God has placed in you to come out. I want to say to my listeners, we're going to be back next week. We're going to have another awesome guest for you and a wonderful show, so be sure to tune in. Hard as Nails is what it's entitled, and she has gone from blindness to victory herself, and so you've got to tune in and hear about that. So I look forward to sharing that with you, but until then, I want you to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all gave his life for you and said that you were worth it. Until next time, keep faith, keep hope, keep believing, because you're worth it.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart, and you're left with a broken heart, and you feel that there's no healing inside. Oh no, but this I know.